Let us begin putting ourselves in the presence of our Lord, and in a special way today in the presence of Mary, His mother. Having the honor to be with you on this first Saturday of the month of May, the month of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you infinite thanks for allowing us, Lord, to gather here together, to open our hearts, as our bishop told us yesterday, open it wide to your grace, to your love, to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We ask you, Lord, that you make each one of us like the heart of your mother, open and ready to receive you without putting any blocks, allowing you to fill our hearts so that we may each day become more like unto you. We ask all these graces through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the intercession also of his mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see why I was afraid? I mean, he put me as if I was an angel. I'm not. Sister Sarah can attest to that. She lived with me, so she knows. I'm sorry for the snow. You see, I'm a third world country girl, so I wanted to see snow. All I get is dust, you know, so I wanted to see some of the refreshing snow that you get. But anyways, it is a pleasure, really, for me to be able to come and share with you in this conference of the heart of Our Lady and how her heart united with the Holy Spirit has brought forth for us the salvation of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This promise of the Lord was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and it is of supreme importance for us to emphasize that the apostles were united with Mary when the Holy Spirit was poured forth upon them. It is a fundamental element that many times, as the deacon was telling us yesterday, goes unnoticed. However, the presence of the Mother of Jesus is significant for the singular event in which the Church, born of the pure side of Christ, receives the sanctifying power of the Spirit, and in the same time the power which would enable it to launch itself forward on its mission of evangelization, which is what we're here for, isn't it? Go forth to preach. Go forth to be witnesses. We cannot just be recipients anymore. We have to begin to be doers and not just receivers. We receive for a purpose, not to grow only in our own knowledge and holiness, but to be able to be means that the Lord could use to bring forth His love to the world. The Pope John 23rd, at the beginning of the Second Vatican Council, said, "Divine Spirit, renew your wonders in our era as if it were a new Pentecost, and grant that your Church, praying together," aren't we doing that? Coming together to pray, "perseveringly and insistently with one heart and mind, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and guided by Peter, can promote the reign of your divine Savior, the reign of justice, of love, and of peace, which is what we all search for. Together with Mary, why is it so important that we pray insistently for a new Pentecost and that we do it together with Mary? Because Mary Most Holy has been called by the Church, and in a particular way, St. Francis of Assisi was, I think, the first one of the saints that ever called her Spouse of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful title that really gives to us a clear image of who Mary is, Spouse of the Holy Spirit. When we speak of spousal love, we're speaking of a profoundly intimate union, profoundly intimate love. It's a very singular union between the Holy Spirit and Mary. That began not on the day that the angel Gabriel came to greet Mary and to ask her if she wanted to be the mother of the Savior. It began way before, in her Immaculate Conception. Because it was in the womb of St. Anne that the Holy Spirit, through His power, and because of her future son's sacrifice, she was kept from every stain of sin, so that she could become that holy tabernacle in which the Lord was going to be formed, where the Lord was going to acquire a nature like ours. And most important, where that little divine heart was going to begin beating. Okay? The humanly divine heart of Christ began to beat in the womb of Our Lady. The heart of God began to have human love for us. Not only divine love, but also He wanted to know what it was to love with a human heart. Mary is the masterpiece of the Holy Spirit, which not only reveals, but also allows us to see clearly what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of us, His creatures. The relationship between Mary and the Holy Spirit is the love that is reciprocal, and it is also fruitful. And like I said, this not only happened in the Annunciation. We have that very clear. The angel coming to Mary and announcing her that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her and she was going to be with child. So the second person of the Blessed Trinity was going to become human in that very moment, was going to acquire a human nature. Well, union of spouses has a great call to be fruitful. All of you who have experienced and have the vocation to marital life, to the vocation to marriage, know that there is a great desire to bring forth the fruit of your love. Well, the Holy Spirit loves so much Our Lady that the fruit of that love was the incarnation of the Word made flesh. And like I said, it not only happened at the Annunciation, it happens every single time a soul opens itself to Christ, opens itself to the life of Christ, that the union of the Holy Spirit and Our Lady becomes true in that soul. Because the second person of the Blessed Trinity has been conceived in that soul. That is the source of conversion, the source of our intimacy with the Lord, and that openness that our bishop asked of us yesterday, to open our hearts, just like Mary did, so that the Holy Spirit may bring forth into our hearts the fruit of His love with Our Lady, which is Christ. This spiritual comings, which signifies a renewal of faith and prayer and conversion and sacramental life, as well as great apostolic zeal, that going forth to bring Christ to the world, responds to the needs and the battles of our historic moment. Because all comings of Christ into the world will come in the same way that He did the first time. All comings of Christ will come through His mother and in union with the power of the Spirit. The servant of God, John Paul II, prayed on Pentecost Day of 1982, O Mary, who are the mother of the Church, obtain for the Church the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that it will know how to continue with constancy towards the future down path of renewal marked by the Holy Spirit, and so that she will know how to assume within that work of renewal all that is true and good, assiduously concerning among the signs of the times that which serves for the coming of the reign of God. United with Mary, the Holy Spirit will bring forth that renewal that we need and desire. The Virgin Mary is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. She is the very true and new Ark of the Covenant. Remember that the Ark of the Covenant that Moses was asked to build as they were going through the desert was supposed to be made of uncorruptible wood. All of you who are carpenters here or don't know about wood, you know how important it is to have a material that is not corruptible. You know, because we have termites. That's a reality of our falling world. We have little creatures that like to eat wood and destroy things. Like sin destroys our souls. But the Ark of the Covenant was made of uncorruptible wood. Now, if that held the manna, which was the bread that came from heaven, that was acquired through Moses' prayer to feed his people in the desert, which one is the, that was an image of the new and true manna that comes down from heaven, promised to us in John 6 and made true at the Last Supper meal, the very first Holy Communion of the Apostles, their day of ordination. That is the true manna. The one of Moses was just an image of what was coming. And Our Lady is and was that Ark of the Covenant in which our Lord, the true manna, was kept, where he grew. It had to also be of uncorruptible nature to hold the divine body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart is the permanent cenacle in which the Holy Spirit pours forth to form new hearts in man. And let's see what St. Louis de Montfort tells us about it. He is a great saint of Our Lady, St. Louis de Montfort. He says, God the Holy Spirit became fruitful in Mary, his spouse. With her and in her and from her, he produced his masterpiece, God Made Man, and brought forth all for all time until the end of the world within the members of the mystical body, children of God, in the likeness of the only Son. For this reason, the more that he finds Mary present, his beloved and indissoluble spouse in a soul, so the more he founds Mary in us, the more we loved her and we try and desire to be creatures open to God, like Mary was, totally open to God. This is that much more powerful and dynamic does the Holy Spirit manifest itself in order to produce Jesus in that soul in which he finds his spouse. So St. Louis de Montfort is telling us, the more a soul loves Mary, the more the Holy Spirit, his spouse, can find a home in that soul. And together will continue bringing forth to the world the fruit of their love, Jesus Christ. That's how we are to proclaim the word of the Lord today. That is how we are to bring forth, not just sustained on our own good deeds. We could do very good things, but we're just instruments. And we should be that home in which the Holy Spirit, by the love that we have for his spouse may bring forth Christ to the world, just like he did the very first time. So this bringing forth Christ to the world today is our call too. We are called to do what Mary did, embrace it and bring it forth to the world. And remember that when the shepherds came to the manger and found everything as the angels have told them, do you remember where was baby Jesus in that moment? Where was he? Was he being held? Or was he on the manger? So they found the baby laying on the manger. So even in that moment, Our Lady was giving her son. We clench to the babies. No, we, you know, everything that is ours, we clench to it. We hold it. We keep it. It's like mine, you know. I can lend you the baby for a little bit, but it's mine. Our Lady had already given it to the world. He was there on the manger to be presented to the world. So that was her mission, to bring forth Christ for us. But he is what's important. How do we live in this openness of heart to God in union with Mary, his blessed mother? It is through the piercing of the sacred heart of Jesus, his son, that each one of us have been able to receive the graces we stand in need of for our personal conversion, for our transformation of hearts, so that we may become instruments in the transformation of our families, of our society, and of the world of today. The world of today is waiting for the Lord to be revealed. But all the graces, we have already received them. Christ already paid the price. Christ already won for us the graces. Let me put it to you in a very simple example. Let's say that you bought a lotto ticket, okay? And you come to realize that you won the lottery. Now, can you become a millionaire? You won the lotto already. The numbers are there. You have the numbers. The numbers have already been posted. You are a winner. But can you make use of that money if you keep on holding to the ticket? Unless you go and you turn the ticket over, you are able to receive the graces. Christ already won the prize for us. But he needs our collaboration of that desire, that collaboration to receive the graces that he has won. So we have to go and take the ticket. Ask the Lord that those graces that we have already won for us may be fruitful in our souls. We stand in need of our collaboration, which is what Our Lady did. She collaborated with the Lord. It is time for us to mature our faith, our love for God, and our time to be fruitful. We cannot go forth just thinking of ourselves. We have to go forth thinking of all those that are not here today and set Helena on fire, but with the good fire, okay? With the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let us not burn anything. But setting all hearts on fire. But we cannot give what we do not have. If we're not in fire with love for Christ, we cannot inflame anyone. So therefore, it's time for us to mature our faith, not to be babies anymore and just receiving. It's time to really take the time to love the Lord so that it is through our testimony, our witnessing, and our work for the evangelization. You know, the apostles didn't remain in the cenacle. Once the Holy Spirit came, what happened to them? They received the power to go forth. We cannot remain in the cenacle of our homes without doing anything and just watching the world be in need of the love of Christ. We need to be true witnesses to the love of God. through the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts need to be transformed, need to be new hearts, acquiring new hearts, becoming instruments in the building of this new civilization of life and love that the servant of God, John Paul II, so much preached throughout all his pontificate years. The new civilization of life and love. If we look around, we can see that we're not living in a civilization of life, in a civilization of love. We're living in a civilization of death. We can see that everywhere, from the very first moment of our conception of life to the very end, when we begin to see as useless the suffering times of the end of life, when they are the greatest gift that the church has today. All those of you who suffer, you are the greatest gift of the church today. You are giving life through your union, your suffering, your union with Christ. We cannot allow our minds to embrace a civilization of death. We must be instruments in this building. The only way in which we can build a church and the new civilization of life and love is acquiring a new heart. We must live first in our own hearts, in our interior lives, that which we desire to bring forth for the world. What is the Holy Spirit telling us for the church today? Where is He leading us? What does He want us to do? And through us for the world? The servant of God, John Paul II, called this at the beginning of the third millennium, the new spring of the church in holiness. Remember the deacon so beautifully was talking to us about yesterday about our call to holiness. We're whole, you know, we're saints in the making. It's true. I'm not that holy, Father. I'm in the making. I'm still, you know, how is it? Medium rare. I'm still in the making, you know. I need more fire to be cooked in that holiness. But it's the struggle of life, and it's the struggle of holiness. That's what John Paul II kept on calling to us. To be the new spring of the church, we need to enter into a new dimension. We need to understand the need that we have of acquiring a new heart. Who gave the new heart of Jesus? Who overshadowed Mary so that Jesus could have a heart? The Holy Spirit. Who will be the one that will transform our hearts? Our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our souls. And we must remain open to that. It depends greatly on our collaboration, like I've been telling you, on our search for holiness of life and conversion. Conversion means I'm going on this path, I'm going to convert. That means turning around and follow the path of the Lord. Anything in our lives, any little things that may be detaining me, could be laziness. I know it takes too much to do apostolic work. It takes too much to go to the parish and say the rosary for the youth that needs it so much. You know, it takes from ourselves to be really evangelizers. We have to give our lives to the Lord, not just be receivers. Well, how do we achieve this? John Paul II kept on telling us that there were two arms in which the boat of the church, which Peter is guiding and leading, has in order to go forth. One is mission and the other one is holiness of life. They're the two great arms in which the church is going into the deep in the boat of Peter amidst the great waves that hit against it in our times. It is precisely why we must give the living witness, the world, a coherent witness of our faith with our own lives. Dear brothers and sisters, we may preach, we may speak a lot, but people look at our lives. If we are not living witnesses with our lives, all of our words go to waste. Because to be living witnesses of love, we have to be lovers. To be witnesses of Christ love and faith and gospel. We must know the scriptures. Do we truly know the scriptures enough to be able to bring forth life through them? If that is something that we have to really be thankful to our brothers and sisters that are Christian, non-Catholic, is their love for scripture. And they can bring forth so much life. We have the blessed scripture and we have tradition. We have two lungs. And sometimes we walk around, I'm asthmatic, you know. So we walk around like asthmatics. Just going, we don't have the breath of the Spirit. And we have two lungs with which we breathe. But we must do our work. Let us not just leave it for the Holy Spirit. Let us not just leave it for God to do His work on His own. You know, we are here to be His witnesses. And that witness, let me tell you, has to begin first at home, where it is not seen. Because any grace that may be poured forth in any apostolic work that you do will bring life if you're bringing life in your house. Because it doesn't work to be light in the street and darkness of your own house. And that's where it's even more of a call to death to self, to be really holy in your household, in your home, in your family, to smile to one another, to serve one another, to be able to die for one another. When you don't want to get up and somebody's asking you for something, when you don't want to iron something and someone asks you the favor of ironing, when you know that there is somebody coming home and you have to keep everything tidy and cook or work or bring forth things for the house, that's been living witnesses of the love of God in your house. It's not just doing great missionary work and going to India, you know, and convert everybody. You have to be means of love within your house. How did the Holy Family live it? You men, learn, acquire more the heart of St. Joseph. We women, let us learn and image the heart of Our Lady. Because they brought forth so much grace for all the families throughout the world by being living witnesses of that love of Christ in their own home. So anything that you do, let us be beautiful outside, but that beauty has to be brought forth from the beauty that you live inside your houses, inside your homes. That grace that will be poured forth in silence. Our Lord lived 3 years of apostolic life, and how many years of hidden life? 30. He was approximately 33 when he died. Okay, so 30 years of hidden life gave all the power to those 3 years of apostolic life. Don't think that the Lord is not watching. The graces that you bring forth with your hidden life at home and the graces that are being poured forth by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring light to the world because of your holiness of life. Hidden. Not everybody is called to be Mother Teresa. And to be a lamp in the world. But you're to be lamps of your homes. Just keeping our hearts open. Witnessing to the love of Christ. For the Jewish, Pentecost was the great feast of the reception of the law in tablets of stone. Well, Pentecost is the feast. You know, we are not the ones that put the name to the feast. It was the Jewish people. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles united with Mary on the feast, the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Pente means 50 days after Passover. So therefore, it was a feast in which they celebrated the reception of the law. But the law was received in what? Tablets of stone. And what does the Holy Spirit wants to make for us, gives us? He wants to write the new law of love, which is lived first in our homes. You know, and let me be very clear. That's what I want to drill on you today. Be lights in your home. Because that's the only way that all the lights will bring forth. You are members of the church. Your homes are the domestic church. So before we ask the whole church to bright, let us be bright ourselves. Let us be lights ourselves so that our parishes may be inflamed truly with the power of the Holy Spirit because we're leaving it. Not because we're just hearing it. We're leaving it. Go forth with the power of the Spirit. Go forth to live, to be witnesses. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to do now for us is to write the law in our hearts. And our hearts, because of sin, because of everything that we have learned and all our fallen nature, had become hard hearts, hearts of stone. And the Lord wants to transform our hearts into hearts of flesh and write His law of love in our hearts of flesh. And what is the new law? What is the new law that Jesus came to teach us? The law of love. You know, for many years, I was a teacher. That was my, let's say, my main ministry, you know, was to teach. And it's, sometimes I use some examples, you know, for the kids to understand, but it's visible. Every time we have the Holy Spirit and we speak of Pentecost, what do we think of? You know, we have it everywhere here. The Holy Spirit, which was manifested in the form of flames, fire. Okay? So with the kids, in order for them to remember, this is not very dogmatic, okay, Father, I'm sorry. But in order for the kids to remember the power of the Holy Spirit, I said, well, the feast of the candle people. Because it's people with flames in their heads. Now, in order for us to understand why do they look like candles, because it's true, I mean, just think about it. If you were to see everybody here with a flame on top, it would be almost like seeing candle people, you know. So I said, what do we do? How do we express when we have love in our hearts? Give me a physical feeling that people tell you they experience when they are filled with love. Usually is associated with warmth, isn't it? Warmth. And the apostles felt so much the love of the Lord that it even became a physical flame. They were on fire. It became a physical flame above them because that love was so strong that it made them burn inside and outside. You know, like the burning bush that was being burned but was not being consumed. That love that it's even experienced in a physical way. It can even be seen. That is what it is to be witnesses of the love of Christ. People have to see us inflamed with that warmth of the love of Christ. To be able to be in flames themselves. To be able to give the love of Christ. Deacon was telling us yesterday, just tell people that God loves them. But if you're as cold as, you know, as I don't want to say the snow because I like it very much. So, you know, but if you're as cold as a block of ice, who's going to be inflamed with love? No one. You have to experience that warmth of Christ. Being witnesses of Christ is being there first to burn others. You can't give what you do not. There you go. You can't give what you do not have. That's what Mary did. She gave us what she had, an open heart, a heart that loved, loved so much that nothing detained her from saying yes to the Lord, to whatever the Lord asked of her. That's why she's such a great witness of the love of God. That's why she was able to give forth her son to the world, because she had what we need to have in order to be witnesses. And we are being called forth to be witnesses of the love of Christ, the love of God. St. John, the apostle, who by the grace of God was the only one of the apostles who died of old age. Okay, all the other ones died witnessing to Christ through martyrdom. Well, St. John was allowed by the purity of his love to be able to reach a good old age in which he was able to give witness to Christ to the first generation of Christians. And unto his death, he kept on repeating the same thing. When his apostles, you know, his disciples kept on asking him, well, tell us about Christ. Love one another. Well, tell us about how it was to live with Christ. Love one another. Well, do you have a new word for us? Love one another. And he kept on drilling that on his disciples. Because it is by the witness of our love for one another that we can be witnesses to Christ today. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we may acquire that flame of love in our hearts. We need to keep in mind that we are the protagonist of this history. Your history, your time in history. You are the protagonist of your life. You're not just a living witness of what's going on outside. We must be witnesses to love. St. Paul gave beautiful, in his apostolic letters, he gave beautiful examples of how we were, in his pastoral letters, he spoke to us about his new law written in our hearts. And he gave us an intensive course on the gifts and the charisms of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12, 31, he said, strive eagerly for the greater spiritual gifts, but I shall show you still a more excellent way. In chapter 13, and this is of the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13 describes what love truly is. You want to know what love is? Go to Corinthians 13. First letter to the Corinthians 13. He describes to us love. He gives us a profound pastoral program for our own lives. Now, pastoral programs are very good and necessary. And the re-evangelization of the world will not only be achieved through great pastoral programs and pastoral projects, but it will be achieved when the love of Christ may be manifested to the world. Now, I want to give you an example of what happened here in our side of the world. Okay? When the Spaniards came for the first time to the area of Mexico, they had a pastoral program for the evangelization of the natives. You know, how they were going to come and catechesis and classes and going forth, visit house to house. They had a program. They had been trying their best. But all of a sudden, on the 12th of December, if I'm not mistaken, of the year 1536, the greatest evangelization happened. Not with many words, simple but profound. Am I not here who am your mother? That was enough to continue up to this day, melting the hearts of all of us who have gone at the feet of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Because she is alive and she brings forth Christ. I don't know how much you know of the apparition in Guadalupe, But Our Lady is not only alive in the tilma, you know, and I love to tell the kids this, because you know how we have those thermometers that we can use, like little stripes that you can use and put on the forehead for the kids, because it's so uncomfortable to put in the mouth. Well, when they do that, when scientists do that on the tilma, and they put the little thermometer on the cloth, it's room temperature. But what happens when they put it on her forehead or on her hands? It's truly human temperature. She's alive. Not only she's alive, she came to evangelize with what the world needed in that moment. Now, we look at the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and we say, what a beautiful image. And it doesn't speak to us what spoke to the people of that time. What did the Indians consider as the god? Where were their gods? The sun was a god. What is she standing in front of? The sun. I'm greater than the sun. What was another one of their gods? The moon. What is she standing on? She's standing on the moon. I'm greater than the moon. What was another one of their gods? The stars and the constellations. Well, she came dressed up with the constellations. You know, we look at it and we say, oh, nice, she's wearing stars. You know, that's what we see. We're not anymore in tune with that culture. But for them, it was exactly the same constellation of the night when she appeared. What does that teach us? Remember, Mary is a mother. She's teaching us that we have to go and evangelize with what people can understand today. We have to evangelize a world that will understand us today. As she did in those days, evangelizing with what the people 500 years ago were able to understand. We have to know the brokenness of our society in order to rebuild it. And it was so successful that 3,000 Indians were entering the church daily. We have to learn from our mother how it is that we are to evangelize. You know, the third part of the Secret of Fatima, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Secret of Fatima, but the third part of the secret had the Holy Father, which the children did not understand. They call it the priest in white because they did not understand hierarchy. They were too small. He said he was walking through a city that was in ruins. And there were dead people on the right and on the left. A society in ruins. You know, that's what we have right now. Families are in ruin. I taught for about 20 years, and I have seen the effects of divorce in children. We have no idea the devastating effect that the ruins of our society has on those little ones. And they are the future. We have to be active. We have to love. We have to bring forth that understanding the suffering church, the suffering society. We have to bring forth love. St. Francis and St. Clare of Assisi were called by the Lord at the beginning of the second millennium to rebuild the church, which was in chaos. We can say the same thing for the beginning of the third. And we are called today to rebuild the church. We are the ones who are to put our life and our love at the service of Christ. The new evangelization means to bring back the heart of men to the heart of Christ. And this will happen under the banner of the two hearts that have loved the world so much. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, divine and human, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the great servant of the Lord. because it must be directed toward the heart, towards the change of hearts, and toward the understanding the love of God for us, understanding the love of God for us in all its dimensions. The love of God is the heart of Jesus, and the masterpiece of the Holy Spirit is the heart of Jesus. Together with Mary, most holy, and through her powerful intercession, may we open the doors of our hearts and of our entire church so that the blazing wind of the Holy Spirit may flow powerfully, bringing about the life of a new and so needed Pentecost for our times. May the Lord bless you. Pray much so that the church religious life revival may happen also soon, that many more young people, women and men, may be the new spring of the church in religious life. We need it so much. We need the church. We need priests. We need religious. We need those that will dedicate their whole lives to bring forth this new spring of the church. So add that to your intentions, okay? Please. God bless you.